The following is an arrival address by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on May 2nd, 1986 in Los Angeles, California.
Outside the temple, reception in Bangalore. So, fortunately, the exchange, I don't think that people really know what is the proper thing to exchange, what's the proper culture that will really help the world. Therefore, the Krishna Conscious Movement is needed so much to educate people on higher spiritual values. So, in all of it, actually said that America has the responsibility. The parents in America have the responsibility to polarize the people of America and to make their basic stand on God consciousness. So right now in the world you have America, East and West conflict. But in the East, or in the West, where we said that it's communism versus capitalism, communism is 100% atheistic. And the present capitalistic system is about 80 or 90% atheistic. It's not much different. But if it can be made more God conscious, then it very much polarizes the situation, then it's a proper situation for establishing order in the world. Otherwise, right now, it's pretty hard for Krishna to take any sides, because there's just almost a hairline difference. Just a tokenism. Of God consciousness, not any real consciousness of God, just some slight religious sentiment is there without really any knowledge. Of course, the other leaders in the world, whether Indian leaders or American leaders, the Kali Yuga has affected them so much that there's very little understanding of what life really is. So, American government sends over a visible trip to my friendship with other countries. I don't know how much it really has. Obviously no lasting effect. But there are nice people, they like to visit right next to and visit their temple. And they enjoy seeing the devotees there. So Bangalore now, the mainland, is a very nicely there. Then Trivandrum is very few devotees, just 10 devotees, but they've taken on a massive challenge. They're doing a big marathon to complete the translation and publishing of the Bhagavad Gita in Malayalam language. The state of Kerala was created by Parsaram. Apparently, Parsaram got a somewhat better benediction. But as far as Parsaram would throw his hatchet, his weapon, or shoot his arrow, that much land would come out of the sea. And then there was, so there's a little mountain range, and from there there's about 100 kilometers or more to the ocean. And they say the whole strip along the western coast, going down to Cape Cameron, is made by Parsaram. And so Kerala's there, it's beautiful. Just to continue on the coconut tree, they call it coconut groves. So the people there are 95% literate. Highest literacy, almost 100%. Highest literacy rate in India. But people are very good in professions and they're going to end up working in the Middle East and other places. So, first thing I want to do is hear the Bhagavad Gita. Like, we don't explicitly, for instance, here in Atlanta, we buy the Bhagavad Gita in Los Angeles and we sell them. We buy other books and we distribute the books. We do a program. But, say you're preaching in a state like Kerala, used to be a separate country, now it's part of India. But it has a separate culture, it has a separate language, with a separate alphabet and everything. So it's in order to preach those people, we can imagine how many preach if you don't have any books. So before they can do anything else, they have to get the books translated, have to print them themselves, and after that we can distribute them. So that's a very big endeavor for a small temple. What the whole LABBT is doing, small temple has to do in addition to everything else. So that's keeping them very preoccupied, but they're almost two-thirds finished. They tried to finish by the Gaurapurnima, but they could close and page of them each Bhagavad Gita. Then in Madras, they'll be locating to a bigger location, and there some people are also trying to give us some land. We're trying to have a permanent center there. Went up to Guwahati, where a temple is 90% built. It's built, there's deities in it, just the tower The Dharma has to be completed, so I made a program to complete that. Because the Sangha pending works in 10 days, you visit 10 cities. It came in the Navaratra Festival, right before after the Gopurima Festival, about 600 devotees or more came. They had a 4-day festival, 2 days Vyas Puja, then 2 days was Navaratra program. And after that, immediately the next day, it came to Thailand. From Thailand to Malaysia, where we did programs in 3 different cities. There were about a number of 2 initiation ceremonies in Malaysia. And from there, I stopped into Japan. Where at one time, Ramakrishna Swami had asked me to be the co-guru with him. There was some meeting about 3-4 years ago. So I was kind of an official co-guru, so I had 3 disciples there. But now, I visit as well in the official capacity. But just to encourage them on the way over. So we had a program there. They go at Harigan in the streets of Tokyo. A lot of people see that. And they work pretty hard to distribute Prabhupada's books. And then to stop for a day in Hawaii. Landed this morning at 1 o'clock in Los Angeles and then flew here at 12. That's the basic program. Of course, before the festival, you already know I was doing the Padyatra. I was doing the festival. It's like Padyatra. When I left here from the Mardi Gras, we had made an arrangement that the exposition would be constructed, and I got back, it was the 17th of February. The festival was starting on the 12th of March. When I got back, nothing had been constructed on the exposition. There was only 20 holes in the ground for the foundation. And the disciple that I had asked to do it had built too much money. So he went home. The money blew, but he went home to us. He was feeling sick. So we had a marathon where day and night we worked. Okay, we went to the first step. I would be generous to the game. From an audience of few devotees came. So we made a week of structure and developed, I think it worked out to 7,000 square feet of exhibition area, permanent exhibition, in a period of about 3 weeks. In foundation, concrete, walls, structure, roofs. It's a permanent exhibition, so I continue to be showing various exhibits in it so that when people visit my apartment, constantly show people. So that was incredibly intense to finish that within such a short time. But somehow, by watching Tanya's mercy, we were able to do it. So unfortunately, there was no exhibit from Atlanta. But next year, I know that I have one from the Southeast. We should show a nice exhibit. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Everyone else that showed the exhibit, most of the people took their exhibits back with them. So now what I'm doing is we're making our own custom-made preaching exhibits meant for the Indian public. Just as we have certain objectives here in America, that's what India and there. Now, the exhibit, there's a little bit of different types of exhibits are needed in an exhibit to tell them that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They know Krishna, but some people may not know exactly how Krishna fits in with the whole Hindu presentation of various gods is sometimes very confusing to them. So I'm pure Vaishnava. Just the basic succession needs to educate them that there's only one Supreme Godhead, that's Krishna, and there's other, how they all relate with the other variety of deities that we present. So we have one, in addition to this gratitude, there's one that I want to establish really systematically that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not someone else. And then we have a multimedia show. We have a computer that can do 16 slide projectors at a time. And that is 6 slide projector show. And then there they showed our Panayati Festival, a number of things. They showed different festivals and things around the world. So now, again, I assigned to other devotees to do this type of finishing touches there. But that's something I want to develop, so I was thinking that this is good to have this exhibition there, because whatever exhibits we develop,
passages, at least some of them are applicable here. Maybe not all of them, but the ones that are applicable that we can use here in our preaching here, as well as whatever the exhibits we can get from America, we'll take that and use here as well as use there. Because we found that now America has become such a tourist spot, 20, 30,000 people come on the weekends. It was like just like a pilgrimage place. So people are that very passionate kind of mood. They want to come in and see the deity, see this, see that. They're not anymore just sit down and just hear lectures. So we have exhibitions and slideshows and videos that keeps their attention and they come and listen. So this way, generally I just travel around and there's different lectures and things, but in the past 500th anniversary preparations, I had to do a lot of what they call hand-on management or direct administration to see these things. So it was but after all these years of just traveling and advising, to have a little opportunity gives a perspective. So that's why I'm more encouraged when I see the hero, the devotees are so enthused, to also expand the preaching and the facilities here. Although, in a sense, we see the entire situation in the world or in America, when we think of the overall objective, it seems like an overwhelming task. But at the same time, if we just steadily go on, because Krishna consciousness gives people something which is eternal, something which they don't lose. So if we just continue following the instructions of Caitanya Mahaprabhu, of Srila Prabhupada, then gradually it will have its effect. Just like a little bird will empty out the ocean, we're trying to empty out the ocean. By being determinate going on, and we're going to gradually have more and more results, more sincere souls who are looking for truth. They'll be brought, and in time they'll be able to help other souls in this way. Movement can expand. Just like, first they said that in, only devotees could be devotees in the temples. Then we started an ad hoc program where we're preaching to the people living outside. So now, we have over 200,000 people in India who are chanting Hare Krishna regularly in their homes, participating in an ad hoc program. In fact, I was mentioning in the car here that the High Court judge is equivalent to the state. It's a combined equivalent to like the state Supreme Court and the appeals court. Before the federal appeals court combined, that's what the relative level of it is. The judge came to my Vyas Puja and the lecture, and his niece is taking initiation. And in his house they have a little temple they do worship. So gradually it's not just amongst villages, but it's going amongst other cities and into the educated and very well-situated people as well. So then here in America, people also were saying, why, that people we cannot practice in their home and it's too sinful outside and everything. Of course, it is very distracting. Anyone is running for money. And they want money for sense gratification. Money is already, if it's used to maintain the body and soul together, and then use for self-realization. But when money is simply used for sense gratification, then it becomes a disturbance on the path of self-realization. Nonetheless, we found that if devotees have a proper attitude, and if they associate closely with devotees in the temple, if they develop a spiritual routine in their homes, then it's possible so that people can become devotees. Even though living outside the temple, they can become more and more advanced gradually in devotional service if they take the proper association and guidance and attend temple programs as far as possible or have those type of programs in their own homes. And so I'm actually hearing in New Orleans we're getting more and more people who are, some are taking pre-initiation and they're chanting in their homes, which I feel is very promising. This is what Prabhupada had requested. He informed me in Los Angeles before I went to India. He said, well, he just pulled me over and said, don't think anyone is going to be chanting Hare Krishna now. We're going to live in our temples. The temples are going to be our centers. He said, they'll be like the Christian churches. He said, so there'll be devotees there, but there'll be see the Dalai come into the temple. That was in 1969, 1970. And so they called the son of the light. He said, at that time, I didn't know why. Now I know why he was saying it. So, in many ways, people sometimes developed. I find that some of the devotees in America are very enthused for preaching, and some of the devotees, they're not so enthused for preaching. They think that America's hopeless or something like that. A few times you meet some older kind of devotees who are apparently devout. They deserve to preach. They have other ideas. Thankfully, thank Krishna, none of them are here in this area. So, the real solution, of course, is to preach. We're not a talisman, we have to go out and tell people about Krishna. People accept Krishna, don't accept them. That's what it means not to be attached to results. And we try to give people Krishna just so you can think back. I've only been there 4 years now. And we haven't one local initiated devotee. And we have a lot of people who are chanting. But it's just that try hard for them to give up eating lizards. And it's really a nice little things. But gradually, now there's a couple of devotees living in the temple who are chanting and following vegetarian everything. So sometimes it takes a while also, you don't have no place to adjust. Here in America, things are changing. My attitudes are different. The outlook of people is different. So we have to become more expert in marketing and presenting Krishna consciousness in a way that the people can understand it. To give that continuity of Prabhupada's books. It's such a little sense of letter to go and read the books. And in this way, gradually, people will take advantage. In any case, we're doing our part. I know that there was just this one person who got the book, purchased it. So they had his book sold for 2 or 3 years. One day something came over and I decided, I don't know, what is this book? And so I got to write the book, I was totally amazed. And then he came and saw the devotees and they got him out to him. And so now the person is journeying 16 rounds, he's very active. There's another case during when the devotee mentioned that they also got the book, and they told me read it, can understand the word of it. They might not work either. Couldn't really understand what it was all about. So they put the book away. And one day, he just picked up the book and looked and he saw the Hare Krishna mantra, so he started chanting the mantra. He was a girl. Then, after 10 minutes or something, he read the book. And it started to make more sense. Then the Prabhupada said, they say that they're brainwashed. The Prabhupada said, they have no brain to wash. They have no mind for spiritual life. They're actually having spiritual intelligence. One thing that's very conspicuous about its absence is any spiritual perception. Spiritual perception is a conception where you're at the end of a time and that's what's going to happen with the year. That day it's going to happen here. That you can't tell that this body is the self. The body which is made of bone, made of mucus, made of body, all the air, different material elements, bones, blood. So if you take this to be yourself, put it down, it's so moving to be. If you take the byproducts of the body, the family members to be one's own, and if you take the land of your birth to be worshipable. A person goes to holy places just to visit the holy place but doesn't discuss there with the religious, with the spiritually realized people to know what is the purpose of life. And such people are Sayyavagokara. They're no better than cows or asses. Go means cow, kara means ass. Or donkeys. So the Bhagavatam is saying that there's a civilization which is cow and ass of which are admirable, is this the definition? Someone who thinks that the body is their self, they think that the byproducts of the body are one's own, they're thinking that the land they're born in is worshipable. I mean, this is the entire fallacy, right? I mean, again, it will be kind of lucky for something at the flight from all evil. You see, they're waving American flags and Russian flags and things all over the world. But this is the main thing that all over the world, the Olympics, everything, people are being told that, you know, you're American, you're Russian, you're Chinese, you're Malaysian, you're Indian. So now in India, they're taking away the visas from this country and then from some other country there. The world, even one French stewardess was telling me, well, that's fine, but now it's very difficult. Even as a stewardess, they get to fly free, basically, but they can't get visas to go to different countries. Even to America, it's hard to get a visa worker from France sometimes. So, but the world of the United Nations, but basically speaking, it's become more divided. It's harder to move around. There's so many, there's terrorism all on the basis of racist type of principles. And we're the body. So if you're born in a Christian family, you always have a Christian body. There's no actual conception necessarily in most of the cases about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The son's born in a Muslim family, and their mother, if they're born in a Sikh family, they're Sikh. If they're born in a Buddhist family, they will not get even very few actually go into what is the actual teachings. Most people are just to identify as a kind of bodily identity and no type of 20th century caste system. And then they fight with each other because of the conflicting interest. So Lord Chaitanya's method of uniting the entire world was to bring people to the spiritual platform where they identify as the eternal soul, which is what makes the body alive. And that the soul is part of the supreme soul. And there's only one supreme soul. It does not change, it does take it on there's one supreme entity who's supplying all the needs for everyone else. And what they call the entity, Allah, or Jehovah, or Krishna, is the same person. The name in Sanskrit, Krishna, we call it because Lord Chaitanya called on that name. And it's really exacting. It's a really merciful, powerful name. There are different levels of names. Some names are names of addressing God as a creator of the material world, addressing some aspect of his material potency. So those names where he's all pervasive or omnipotent are known as the Vishnu category of name. Those names are not as powerful for uplifting a soul as the name of Rama. In general, God's in the Vishnu category, like God, or just the creator, or omniscient, as I guess. If you have 1,000 of those names, they're going to be equal to one name of Rama. And 3,000 of those type of names will be equal to one name of Krishna. So he's not even chanting the name of Krishna. Directly where it's addressing much more the spiritual qualities of the Supreme Person. That is very effective in uplifting the conditioned souls. Although, we have an objection of somebody wants to chant another one for a name of the Lord, because the other names may not be as active as Krishna's personal name. So, in any case, there's many few people who are chanting any names of God at the present time. We've come up with other type of monodharmas to tell us why we don't have to chant the name of God, why we don't have to practice spiritual life. And the result is people are, unfortunately, not happier. They're trying to be happier than they are trying to. But that's not the real source of happiness. That source of happiness is available. Why they say, why do they say that it's like a simulation of cows or asses? Because the same happiness you could get if you were in a cow's body or a donkey's body, eating, sleeping, sex life. That material happiness is there in all the species of life. So a human being can realize a higher spiritual happiness. And people want to be fully happy. Therefore we have art, science, culture, and all the things people came to expand more than just the complete gross necessities. Those are slight indications leading towards the absolute truth. They'll get in the world of passion. And to go higher directly to discussing about the spiritual purpose of life, that's the real combination of human civilization. So now, I think they did a Gallup poll in America. I didn't notice it exactly, but some statistics of the majority of cancer like that. Studies that range from their childhood, they already become hopeless. That gives no solution. So it's a very serious situation, but at least they're being somewhat pragmatic. The real solution is to change the direction of society through a systematic propagation of spiritual values. So people just see that it's like different. Nationalism is only in the sense of just for defense. Even at a later time, there were nations, but it was for mutual defense, for some collective effort. The reason that it's worship of all are that this is the way they identify to that extent. That's an official manipulation by the political leaders to get people to do things under that sentiment. You know, unfair wars and things where it may not be needed. So this is creating the wondering why there's terrorism, why there's the difficulties in the world, because of all these artificial concepts which are being promoted even by the superpowers. So those that are alterations throughout the entire world, like Karl Popp in his biography, he mentions that that Kali Yuga had spread widely even in India. So he was looking for where the root of this infection was coming from. So he came to America. He came to America so that he could still have the spread of the infection to the rest of the world. So something is, and I'm oversimplifying it, but of course now it's hard to say that Kali Yuga's roots are going upwards and downwards, and it's like a pandemic tree, it's very intricate. But one thing is for sure, that just as a prediction morality or someone other able to hold back Kali Yuga simply by the chantants and the vibration. More people we can get to chant Hare Krishna, that vibration will hold back the influence of Kali Yuga. So here, we're in a place where Srila Prabhupada visited. He had a special mercy here. A spiritual place of pilgrimage. So this is an opportunity for us to present Krishna consciousness to whoever will hear. If someone doesn't want to hear, we're not going to antagonize them very much, but if they're a little bit willing to stop, we will try to tell them about Krishna or get them to reach the Prabhupada's books, hear some of our transcendental vibrations. Otherwise, there's no real hope. That's a fact, that there's no hope other than this process. Any questions? Yes? I was preaching in San Diego, Chile, to a nun, and so she liked the philosophy, but she had been a nun for 26 years. She only wanted to chant the name of Jesus. I said, so chanting. So she was chanting Jesu Cristo, Roman in Spanish, and I said Jesu Cristo. So she was saying Jesu Cristo, 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 Jesu, Jesu. And then she answered him that for a while. And one day she went over to the country, she said, why don't I just try Hare Krishna? So then she started chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So then I went down again, and then she came to me and said, by chanting Hare Krishna, I got such a spiritual potency. The 26 years of chanting Hail Mary or chanting, I never got such an experience. Now she's taken initiation. So then she only wrote 2 years. She got permission to live outside the monastery, but she's still a nun. She lives in Shaila Prabhupada next to the monastery or something, and she works literally to work with us. She comes to the temple every day, serves the temple floor, makes garland. And then her brother superior told her mother to, here's to take some coffee. She says, no, my girl said I can't take it. So now she's able to live this too. She's vegetarian. If there's a will, there's a way. There's a will that chant, chant it like that. And maybe you can also chant it as well. So you can show that how actually Krishna is the Sanskrit for Christ. From Krishna and Greek it comes Christos, and from that it comes Christ. It's the etymology of it. is another word in English which also comes from the word Krishna, which is charisma. Charisma, of course, someone who has attractive, very attractive personality. So charisma, Krishna. Krishna means all attractive. It seems to be different from the link there. So it just means the Lord God is all attractive, so that way he'll attract us out of there. If they don't, you know, if they want to chant some other name, I'm sure, but then chant it in a controlled way a certain number of times in a day and use the same procedures we're doing, then somehow if we can encourage them to chant. After all, these mantras are especially designed, they're very easy to chant. If you just try to make up some other mantra, it won't be so easy. So the Lord would come to the Chinese who just do the Hare Krishna. I don't know why, but slightly. Not as sweet. And yet, people, I mean, you can't push them too fast. Just like you better to do it, to cultivate. Give them prasadam and give them flowers and they just if you push someone, sometimes they get defensive or something, and then they have to kind of encourage them to go along and like pull them along, get them to somehow on their own initiative, just take a little step forward. The coaxing is there, but not to the point where they somehow, you know, they feel they start to react negatively. In Malaysia, there's one lady, she's chanting Hare Krishna, she became vegetarian, she's a Chinese lady. The Chinese are generally the hardest thing for them to give up is meat eating and gambling. It's like in each country's different mayas are more strong. In fact, I have Krishna Sevak was given up even meat eating and all the other things. The only thing is 2 weeks ago he gave up gambling. Sister said, Chinese are very much into gambling. They come up to the monks and ask for lucky numbers. There's some number game, I don't know exactly what it is. But so, what would be in America, the other Mayas which are more strong? Most of the Mayas are pretty strong here, but the other people generally, I think, a little more holistic, more whatever. Vegetarianism is a little more, at least for the younger, more intellectual people, they can somehow adapt to vegetarianism easier. Like that. It's not about the subject, but so this Chinese lady, she tried to force her husband to really change his diet, change everything. And so he became so defensive that now he doesn't want to hear anything, practically. So had to, because she got very fired up, the Chinese are very active people, so she took it up and immediately had to change everyone right away. And she kind of got everybody, she just started telling everybody how they really had to change their diet and the way everything they're doing was wrong. And, you know, and so as a result, everyone's kind of, now they all got their guards up against her. Or if she had done a little more systematically, I said, you should have prepared some nice preparations given to your husband, nice vegetarian preparations. And brought him to see, take a dinner, say, with some other Krishna conscious couples. And this way, gradually introduce him rather than, you know, suddenly they. People generally not very interested in following the rules and regulations, but they get attracted due to some of the more other features, either Krishna's holy name, or the prasadam, or the association, or the philosophy. And then once they're a little convinced, then they can see the value of trying to lead a pure life, trying to follow certain rules and regulations and systems. First you have to get them a little bit attached to Krishna, and then the other rules and regulations aren't to dislike this. Turn the fire on whatever part is attracting the person, and then fan that fire. Different people may have some way, like just be attracted by cookies, by prasadam, even more prasadam. Some are more attracted, then just try to encourage them wherever they're showing a little bit of interest. And when you see that, then they have more resistance to take the path of least resistance and try to engage them. But when they actually start to chant, then they'll get a quicker realization. But they won't chant Hare Krishna, they can chant some other name. How much result of it we can't guarantee. We can't guarantee it. That they'll definitely get more result by following this process, either with another one of their name of God, than if they didn't follow it. And once they get costing you a little bit of, the Wesley Triage system, and a little bit of result. Now it's easier for the whole line of travel. Sorry, Krishna. What was an Indian? He led my disciple prisoner to land and met him. And they talked for some minutes. And he accepted the Bhagavad Gita. And he made some positive comment. I can get those pictures. And most people in the South are not Catholic, Protestant. Well, this is again a break for the Pope said that he accepts that other people are also worshiping the same God. Finally, in the 20th century, 1986, Burj Khalifa can say that there's one God. The Muslims have not accepted yet that there's one God. I mean, the others are also worshiping the same God. They have not always accepted. But the Pope, at least, he was saying that he accepts others are to be worshiping, but their God is better than so. Somebody's individual preference may be there. Someone can always say, my way is better. That's to be seen, but at least that the other, that there are different ways, or that there is different names for God. If that basic premise is established, that opens the door for a little more universal attitude, and that people can also take courage to try the different processes and see which is better for them. One man's food is another man's poison. About what Tim said, if we're practicing a system of religion, we should judge how much we're developing love for God, and if a person is practicing self-realization, how self-realized are they becoming? If they're not getting the result, then they're just expending energy. Then they should see which process will give them the result. What is the use of just hanging on to something that is not producing the proper result?